They are spending over $40 million to convince Californians to deny themselves the right to know about the genetically modified organisms in their food. This leads us to ask, should consumers deny themselves the right to know about the GMOs in their food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 795th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Dijon who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Folks, they are spending over $40 million to convince Californians to deny themselves the right to know about genetically modified organisms in their food. Who are they? Well, here's the list. Monsanto, DuPont, Dow, Syngenta, Pepsi, Coke, Nestle, ConAgra, General Mills, Del Monte, Kellogg, Hershey, J.M. Smucker, to name but a few. Why do these hugely successful corporations want Californians to deny themselves the right to know about GMOs in their food? We recently received a press release from the San Francisco law firm of Morrison & Foerster, which included the following from partner Michelle Koresh. And I quote, under Prop 37, anyone can sue a food company disputing its labels, even if plaintiffs didn't suffer damage from the food, or even if plaintiffs didn't rely on the product labeling in deciding to purchase that food. Why, I thought, this should make the attorneys of Morrison and Foerster as happy as pigs in you know what. Because if Proposition 30 passes, everyone will soon be suing everyone, and the attorneys, of course, will get thoroughly rich. But when I called to see if Morrison and Foerster would join us on the Food Chain, I discovered the firm had been hired to speak against Proposition 37 and not for it. And furthermore, they had no time to talk on the radio. Well, given how much money they've been given, I guess we can understand why they don't have time to answer our question of the day, which is, why should consumers deny themselves the right to know about GMOs in their food? Fortunately, we did find some legal advice at the Washington, D.C. legal firm of Sandler, Reef, Young & Lamb. It's me, Joseph Sandler. Joseph, thank you for joining us on the Food Chain today.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure on board. So tell us about Sandler, Reef, Young & Lamb in Washington. Well, what could be more fun than being an attorney in Washington, D.C.?
Well, our practice is primarily with nonprofit organizations. We do campaign finance and election law. We represent, do a lot of work in the ballot initiative area. We also have worked closely for many years with in the organic movement, fair trade, and other issues that obviously you're expert on and that affect the food chain.
Well, we always like to ask our guests who pays the way. So who does pay the way for your law firm's efforts to represent Proposition 37 here?
The way is paid by a company called Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps in Escondido, California, makers of the nation's top-selling brand of liquid, natural liquid and bar soap, organic, certified, fair trade.
So they're one of the companies that's putting up money to support the effort to label genetically engineered foods, as opposed to the companies that aren't. What is the difference, basically, Joseph, between companies that want us to know about the GMOs and those companies that don't want us to know?
Well, as you say, the companies opposed to letting California consumers know what's in their food recently have set a pace of spending $1 million a day to try to defeat this initiative. This initiative was really, despite what the opponents say, a product of a grassroots movement.
A bunch of mothers, as I understand it.
Exactly. Grandmothers and mothers who pushed the mainstream advocacy organizations to put this issue on the ballot and to do it now. And the companies that are on the other side of this, that support Proposition 37, are companies that are they're in, you know, making natural foods, organic foods, certified organic foods, supplements. But those companies don't have, you know, a fraction of the resources, obviously, of the Fortune 50 giant chemical and industrial food companies that you listed.
Well, we see a lot of organic labels fighting against Proposition 37 and the right to know. I think of, you know, the Silk soy milk, for example, that used to be organic but is now natural. They're putting up big money to fight against this initiative. So there are a bunch of organic labels that have been purchased by these large corporations. But it just seems like there's a difference between very large corporations and very small corporations, or am I missing something?
No, that's correct. There's been some confusion about whether this initiative would affect the labeling of foods as natural. It does prohibit the labeling of any food that contains that is genetically engineered as being natural. It doesn't affect foods that aren't genetically engineered.
So, for example, if you re-engineer corn so that it kills pests, it would not be allowed to be called natural then.
Exactly. Under this law, it would not be allowed to be called natural. If it was an ear of such corn sitting in the grocer's bin, the retailer would just have to have a simple label, genetically engineered. And if that corn is used in a processed food product, the manufacturer would have to put on a label again, just may contain genetically engineered, maybe genetically engineered.
Well, good. Well, we have some objections to this. You know, we've heard some interesting objections to Proposition 37. And I was hoping to have an attorney standing up against Proposition 37 with us today, but they're very, very busy spending all that money. And so it's just us, Joseph. So would you help us deal with these issues today and help people understand just exactly what's going on so we can have an intelligent vote on this incredibly important issue? And you know it's important when somebody puts up $40 million to chase it away. You know that there's a lot involved in it. What exactly, what are they afraid of, Joseph?
Well, it's...
Where do they get $40 million worth of fear?
I think that the fear is that they're going to have to disclose to consumers and give consumers the choice based on a little bit of information about whether food is produced with genetic engineering. Now, there's a lot of foods that this doesn't apply to that aren't available in genetically engineered form. But, of course, as you know better than any of us as an experienced farmer, corn and soy are now available in genetically engineered form, appear in lots and lots of processed foods. And those manufacturers, if they chose to continue to use genetically engineered forms of corn and soy and food additives derived from food, so would have to put this label on. Nothing prohibits the manufacturer from continuing to use genetically engineered corn and soy in their processed food products. They just have to tell California consumers that they're doing so.
You know, it seems like there's a real contest of control. And that's what this is all about. It's really about who controls the information. And whoever controls that information is in the control. They have the control of the economy. If you prohibit consumers from knowing what's in their food, then you control the transaction. You control the marketplace. Or if consumers know what's in their food, then they control the marketplace. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And you would think that if, as the manufacturers suggest, big food industry, that there's no issue, nothing to worry about with genetically engineered foods. You would think that they could better spend this $40 million educating consumers about the facts, so that when consumers have this information and they're deciding whether they should care whether their food contains is genetically engineered, that they have information from both sides. But instead, the money, this tremendous amount of money, is being spent to defeat the ability of consumers to know, to begin with, and make their own decisions as to whether to buy genetically engineered food.
And there you are, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson with attorney Joseph Sandler, Washington, D.C. The question of the day, should consumers deny themselves the right to know about the GMOs in their food? If you want to vote against this, please call us up. 831-479-1080. 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, what do you think out there? Should Californians deny themselves the right to know about the genetically modified foods in their food, the genetically modified organisms in their food? We're talking with Joseph Sandler, an attorney. We're going to go through the objections to Proposition 37, California's Right to Know initiative. But we'd especially like to hear from people who are going to vote no on Proposition 37 from California. We'd like to hear them express why they think Californians should deny themselves that right. 831-479-1080 is the phone number if you're voting for no on 37. Attorney Sandler, we've got some interesting objections to this put up by the no on 37 people. I guess the first one, of course, was that that you would not be able to call foods that have been genetically engineered natural. Would you like to comment on that one further?
Sure. Well, the suggestion was that no processed food could be called natural because of supposed ambiguity in the way that the proposition is worded. In fact, the intent of the law is clear. If it's passed, a food that is genetically engineered, a process of genetic engineering, will not be able to be labeled natural. But other than that, the law will not affect the ability of manufacturers to label their food natural, which is a term that's otherwise largely unregulated.
Yeah, and therefore largely meaningless, right?
Exactly. But again, it will only be, the use of that term would only be affected in the case of foods that are genetic engineering.
Okay, that would be the first crimp on the word natural. And I think especially of Horizon's Silk soy milk, which labeled itself organic for a long, long time. But I think they just ran out of organic soybeans and therefore had to go to genetically engineered soybeans for their soy milk. And instead of calling it organic, they call it natural. So that would be a company that would be affected. They would no longer be able to call their soy milk natural, then, correct?
That is correct. And it should be noted that if a product is certified organic under the rules of the National Organic Program of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, those rules don't permit the use of genetic engineering, except in very, very limited circumstances. And so genuinely certified organic products, makers of those products really are automatically exempted from this law, and in fact exempted by the, if there's language in the law specifically exempting them.
Fair enough. Well, an associate here showed up the other day, and he was stomping mad because Proposition 37 grants exemptions for some classes of food, and the opponents of Proposition call of these special interest exemptions. So is there special interest exemptions in Proposition 37?
No, there's not special interest exemptions. There are common sense exemptions that either reflect a balancing of the scope of the problem against affecting a whole class of industry. For example, alcoholic beverages are exempt because there's very, very little use. In fact, I'm not able to identify any use of genetically engineered substances in alcoholic beverages.
I was trying to think of soy whiskey, but they just couldn't get it.
I know. Somebody's told me there might be some kind of corn-based beer, but I haven't been able to identify it. And so that's a logical exemption. Why would you have to create any concern among in a major industry so important to California, the wine industry and so forth, when it's not an existent problem? There are exemptions where somebody has relied in good faith on obtaining genetically engineered ingredients, and it turns out from some mistake, accident, contamination, that the supply had it. That person won't be held liable. Makes sense. People who don't deliberately violate this shouldn't be held liable. Takeout food, restaurant food is exempted just because of the practicality. Again, you wouldn't saddle an entire industry, and it's just very, very difficult for restaurants, takeout pizza parlor to comply with something like this.
Now,
and these are
exemptions. Yeah, what about, you know, something like Coca-Cola that uses high fructose corn syrup?
The Coca-Cola, if they used high fructose corn syrup and that corn was genetically engineered, then the Coke sold, the Coca-Cola company and producing cans, bottles, and so forth, sold in California for retail, would have to put on the label produced with genetic engineering.
But not in the case of going to, like, McDonald's or something like that and buying a Coke or a Pepsi. That would not have to be labeled.
That's correct.
Okay. So there's a special exemption, special interest exemption, I guess. Okay, so we have that to worry about. What about, for example, meat? That was kind of an interesting one to me because it really gets into a semantical thing.
Well, this, again, has been a real misrepresentation by the other side. If an animal is genetically engineered, that isn't the case right now, but should there ever be a time when a chicken or a cow or is genetically engineered?
Well, what about salmon? You know, they're
well, salmon would be an example, exactly. That were approved and were sold. Then when that salmon was at the at the fish counter, they'd have to, when the label comes off with the barcode and the pounds and the price, they'd also have to put on genetically engineered. So it does apply to meat and fish, which are themselves genetically engineered. Mm-hmm. What it doesn't apply to is the case where an animal was just fed with genetically engineered feed, because that gets into an entirely different area that has its own set of regulatory issues. Unfortunately, the opponents have used this to make silly claims, suggesting that the scope of this new law would be arbitrary, and it's not. It makes sense.
Well, there's also this interesting notion that you can't really label meat that has been eating genetically engineered corn, for example, silage, for example, as genetically engineered because the cow was not genetically engineered.
Exactly. And if the cow were, again, this doesn't exist now, but if the day should come when a cow could be genetically engineered, then the meat from that cow would have to be labeled, contrary to what the opponents are claiming.
So what are the special interest exemptions that they're claiming? So they essentially just places where to make things smoother you make some exemptions. They're really not special interests. It's not like some company has petitioned you to exempt their rutabagas, for example.
No, not at all. They're not special interest exemptions in here. They're exemptions that put the liability where it should be. They're exemptions that where very tiny trace amounts of genetically engineered additives, so forth, are used below a certain level.
Right, one-half of 1%.
Yeah, exactly. There are exemptions, as I say, for alcoholic beverages, which are subject to a completely different set of regulations and don't now contain anything that's genetically engineered. Organic, because you can't use genetic engineering in organic food that's tested by an independent organization, like the non-GMO labeling project, so consumers can be confident through that. The alternative means that there's nothing in their food that's been produced with the genetic engineering. These are all common sense exemptions that make the law workable.
And probably if you didn't put them in there, nothing would work.
Exactly. There would be so many practical difficulties in enforcing the law and difficulties that would be incurred and countered for no good reason.
There you are. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here. We're talking with Attorney Joseph E. Sandler from Washington, D.C. And we're talking about California's Proposition 37, which really will have a huge impact all across the country. Because if Californians deny themselves the right to know about the GMOs in their food, then everybody will have that right denied as well, pretty much. Do stay tuned. Right back. Holy smokes, get this, folks. Monsanto, DuPont, Dow, Syngenta, Pepsi, Coke, Nestle, ConAgra, General Mills, Del Monte, Kellogg, Hershey, and J.M. Smucker, to name but a few, are spending $40 million to convince Californians to deny themselves the right to know about the genetically modified organisms in their food. But why are they spending all that money to deny us that right? That's a question on the food chain table today, and we're talking with Joseph Sandler, Washington, D.C. attorney, representing the yes on 37 people, the no on 37 people are busy spending all that millions of dollars and could not give us the time to talk about this today. But we do have their objections. We got them from their website, and we're putting them on the table for discussion. The first objection, of course, was that the initiative granted special interest exemptions. But when you look at it, they're not all that special, are they, Joseph?
No, they're common sense exceptions that make sure that people who don't intentionally mislabel the foods aren't liable or aren't hit with liability, and that make the law workable.
So there, we don't believe that one, but you can lay it on the table, and if you think that those are special interest exemptions, I guess not much we can do about that. But here's one of the big ones, of course, is that if we force the labeling of genetically modified foods, it's going to increase the cost of our foods, they say, by $400 per year per family. Nobody wants to see that. But it's also going to cost taxpayers millions and billions and trillions. So why would the labeling of genetically modified foods increase the cost of food to families by $400, Joseph?
Well, our view is clearly that it wouldn't do any such thing. The idea of putting a couple of words on a label that contains a lot of information already we can't see that there's very much a cost at all. The idea that manufacturers have to spend time and resources figuring out how to comply with this is silly. Manufacturers know if they're getting using ingredients produced with genetically produced through genetically engineering, or if their product is produced with genetic engineering. If there's any doubt and they obtain a statement from their supplier, that gets them off the hook. It protects them. So they know one way or the other, and it's a simple matter of adding a couple words to a label. Where the opponents get this idea that it's going to impose costs on consumers, to us it's just not real.
So they already have to have labels. They already have to list how much red dye number 29 they have in the food.
Right.
So exactly. It would just be a matter of adding GMO on the label, and therefore how would that increase the cost? But what about the cost of government? Wouldn't that, adding a new law, wouldn't that cost taxpayers millions and billions and trillions?
No, not at all. First of all, we expect that most of this will be achieved easily through voluntary compliance. And secondly, that to the extent there's enforcement, it'll be enforced privately through private lawsuits, and only the most egregious cases will attract the attention of government agencies. There really won't be any significant enforcement costs. And in context, the California Legislative Analyst's Office basically agreed with that, couldn't identify any meaningful amount of additional government spending.
But you did bring up the big word of lawsuits, and that, of course, is what everybody's cringing in their boots for. But before we go there, let's go to the phones. And we're especially interested in people who are going to vote no on Proposition 37, people who do not think we should have that right. Maria, do you think we should not have that right?
Oh, hi. No, I'm going to vote yes.
Oh.
And I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not apologizing, though. I just wanted to get on your show today because I've been gardening over 40 years organically. I applied Roundup one time in my garden and had arthritis in a finger, and I went, what am I doing? This is crazy. You know, I mean, what am I doing to the soil, the earthworm? So anyway, I am listening currently to Genetic Roulette, which is on YouTube. Jeffrey Smith and a whole host of consumers and scientists and people that actually are working in the field testing and retesting and retesting what GMOs do to plants and animals and to us. They're on this video. It is a fantastic way to understand exactly what GMOs are, how they affect the plants, how they affect the animals, and then consequently, how they affect us.
Okay, now, Maria, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
Why do you think so many people are going to vote against Proposition 37? What do you think they're thinking?
Well, I know what a few of them are thinking, which is unfortunate.
Well, what are they thinking?
They're believing the ads. It's just like what the man that you're interviewing, I forget his name.
Joseph Sandler.
Thank you, Mr. Sandler. He's very articulate in what he's saying. I mean, they're believing the ads that it's going to cost them, the consumer, more money. And that why is there an exemption for this? You know, I mean, I don't understand it either. I don't know. But then I think, in order to get this bill passed, they probably had to make some concessions. I could be wrong, but this is what I'm thinking. And I don't care. I just want them to start labeling. And here's why. I was over-vaccinated as a child, given polio vaccines 3 to 4 times a year. I have a compromised immune system already. I've had it my whole life. I'm 62. And I also have to eat organic foods because I have 2 autoimmune diseases. I have celiacs and I have thyroiditis. So I have to be careful, very, very, very careful about what I eat because I don't even eat organic food that well. I have to be very careful about what types of families I eat from. For instance, nightshades bother me.
So you just have to know what's in your food. You have to know.
Exactly. And I've been reading labels for over 30 years. You know, and I have grandkids now. And
do you train your children and grandchildren to read labels?
My daughter does. Mm-hmm. They're not exactly reading. I mean, one is just starting to read.
Okay.
You know, but
the reason I ask that, Maria and Joseph, is that it seems like if we don't train our children, who does? And if we don't train them, then they don't care, do they?
My grandchildren come over and they see me gardening and they are very, very curious about the garden. And so they want to try the food that I'm eating. You know, they
uh-huh.
say, oh, let me try. Well, they don't exactly love vegetables. I'm going to be very honest. But my daughter's sneaky and she makes zucchini muffins. Well, they love them, the zucchini muffins.
Maria, thanks for calling. even though you got to vote for it, you're a good caller anyway.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
All right, folks, Michael Olson, we're talking with Joseph Sandler, an attorney from Washington, D.C., about California Proposition 37. Really like to hear from somebody who's going to vote against it. Like to know why you don't think we should have the right to know about the GMOs. 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, folks, this from the San Francisco law firm of Morrison & Foerster. Under Proposition 37, and I quote, anyone can sue a food company disputing its labels even if plaintiffs didn't suffer damage from the food or even if plaintiffs didn't rely on a product label in deciding to purchase the food. Folks, if we pass Proposition 37, they say everybody is going to sue everybody. True, Attorney Joseph Sandler?
No, it's certainly not true. And this has been one of the greatest myths that's been spread by the opponents of this, trying to scare everyone that, as you say, everybody's going to sue everybody. In fact, there's two ways that this new law could be enforced privately. One, which is the only new provision added by the law, would allow a consumer to bring an action to force a company that's violating the law to correct its labeling, period. No money recovered under that, to be recovered under that provision, no damages. The other is that the new law would allow a consumer to bring an action for a manufacturer's failure to label properly under an existing California law known as the Consumer Legal Remedies Act that has actually worked quite well and has not been the subject of any serious complaints about lawsuit abuse and trial lawyers and all the rest of it. Because under that law, a consumer could sue for damages, and it is true that a consumer would not have to show that the failure to label caused that consumer some specific damage. They wouldn't have to show that they gave birth to a deformed child or contracted a disease.
So this is already on the books.
Very, very difficult.
This is already on the books.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that this would work, a consumer could bring an action without demonstrating that, but it could only bring an action for the price of the $3 or $5 that they paid for the product unless they brought what's called as a class action, mm-hmm. whereas a consumer can bring it on behalf of lots of other consumers of the product.
But with respect to Proposition 37, the only provision legal action made is that if you find somebody that's selling GMOs without labeling it, You say, hey, you have to put a label on it, and they have to put a label on it, and that's that.
That's right. Even under the Consumer Legal Remedies Act, if you try to bring a class action and cover all this money from a manufacturer, that manufacturer has to be given notice, and if they agree to comply, the lawsuit's over.
There it is. Well, we have some people who are actually going to vote no on Proposition 37, and want to first of all thank them for calling. And so we're going to go to, let's see, Art. Art, thank you for tuning in the Food Chain Radio program. You're talking with Michael Olson and attorney Joseph E. Sandler. Go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. The thing you read about the San Francisco law firm is actually a perfect segue into what I want to talk about. I live off the grid. It's important for me living in the middle of nature, essentially down here in the hills, to have to know what I'm putting through my septic tank and things like that. So I do pay attention to food labeling and so forth, particularly cleaning agents. Dr. Bronner's, as a matter of fact, is someone I use quite a bit of. But I think this initiative is essentially worthless, and I think it's kind of a cynical play by the folks that write these things and put in these lawsuits, because, as you just mentioned, essentially anybody can sue anybody for anything. All you have to do is state the barest cause of action. And then the person you sue, whether it be a big, huge corporation, as you've mentioned, or a small cooperative, like some of the folks you've had on your show before,
sure,
would be obliged to defend themselves. Okay, so it's not the cost of the, of the goat cheese that, the consumer bought. It's the cost of defending the lawsuit. And as your guest, I'm sure, if he's familiar with California law, should surely know, there's a whole industry in personal injury where people bring essentially worthless lawsuits, and those who are obliged to defend them have to end up settling them. So that's where the cost comes from.
Well, that's an excellent point. Let's turn this over to Joseph and have him respond. Joseph?
Yes, that's a point that has been made, and the comparison that's often drawn is to Proposition 65, the one that requires labeling of any potentially cancer-causing substance. So there's a big difference between this and that proposition, which I think is what the caller was referring to. First of all, there's no bounty provision in this that allows a portion of the civil penalties to go to the plaintiff. But more importantly, there's not this vast area of uncertainty. Manufacturers know whether they can easily comply by putting a label on, and it only applies to a very specific class of foods. If you make apple juice, you don't have to worry about it. You make goat cheese, you're not going to have to essentially have to worry about this, what you're talking about, because there's no genetically engineered form of anything that goes into those.
Unless you're putting high fructose corn syrup in the apple juice.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
That's right.
So what about the notion that you can bring suits against people and drive them nuts with personal liability and like lawyers that drive around to businesses and sue them for not having the proper handicap ramp or something like that?
Right, exactly. The reason that that's not going to be an issue here, as I say, first and foremost, as a law professor at George Mason University concluded in a paper about this, it's a narrow class of activity. You can't just make stuff. You can't grab a bottle of apple juice. This is not labeled. So I'm just going to sue for harassment. The fact is, if there's no basis at all for that lawsuit, because there's no genetically engineered form of it, and you pursue it anyway, you're subject to sanctions. You can't bring completely frivolous lawsuits, especially over and over, and get away with it. There's a rule in the California court rules, civil procedure that provides for that.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we have Chris, who also is voting no. Oh boy, this is great fun with Michael Olson on the Food Chain, Adam with Joseph Sandler, and you, 831-479-1080. So little time. Well, should Californians vote no on Proposition 37 and thereby deny themselves the right to know about the GMOs in their food? Well, we have somebody here who's going to vote no. His name is Chris. Chris, welcome to the Food Chain. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning.
And you're going to vote no on Proposition 37. Why is that?
I basically have three reasons. First of all, hysteria, the lady who called two callers ago, this hysterical type in our community, that those are the people who these measures speak to. I mean, she used Roundup one time, so she has arthritis. She was immunized, so she has an increased immune system. That's just plain hysteria. And that's the first reason. Second reason.
Why is that a reason, though?
Because it's just the people who tend to support these kind of things have that hyper hysteria.
So if we vote no, then nobody will have hysteria anymore.
The vast majority of people who support these types of things buy into that hysteria.
Okay.
So,
reason number two?
Lawsuits. So regardless of what the good doctor says, this is California. I'm personally familiar with the situation with the labeling law. A California company mislabeled They were sued. They ended up settling for something like $3 million, basically drove them out of business. And, you know, we can get into the particulars about what that law said, this, that, and the other.
Which law was that?
It's a consumer labeling law.
That's Proposition 65 law?
No, it's over-the-counter, and regardless of the details.
Well, just a sec. Let's have Attorney Sandler address that issue then. Joseph?
Sure. Well, again, it's the question is whether there's incentives here for people to bring these kinds of suits that would result in a $30 million settlement like that, and the answer is no, because it can easily, again, we're talking about manufacturers that can just commit. They don't have to begin putting this simple label on. That takes the damages back to just the price, the $4, $5 with that the one consumer paid for the product. So there, you don't have the prospect of those giant settlements to avoid an even bigger liability.
Chris, what was your third reason?
Well, it has to do with making laws in California. You know, you recall that gasoline spiked up in price.
Right. So what you're saying then is if we pass this law, food prices will go through the roof.
And even if they don't go through the roof and if they only go up 10%, you know, we have a special...
Why would they go up 10%? Why would the price of food go up?
Let's say that we have a batch of a certain product that's labeled for Nevada or for Arizona that's not labeled for California. Exactly the same product, but we can't sell it in California. We're out of the California version because the label's different.
Okay. We're kind of talking gasoline there.
Right, exactly.
Okay, thank you very much for the call, Chris. Really appreciate it. What do you think, Joseph?
I think the first point was a very important one that the caller made. The issue is controversial. People say, well, you know, there's nothing to worry about with GMO food produced through genetic engineering. And it is controversial, and we don't have all the answers. The purpose of this law is to give consumers information so they can ask the questions and educate themselves. And many, like this caller, might conclude, you know, I'm fine with buying foods produced through genetic engineering. I don't see a problem with it. And that is their, you know, that's their right, and that's a good outcome when they're fully informed.
It all seems to go back to who has control. And that's the subject of Proposition 37. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Attorney Joseph Sandler, thank you so much for joining us from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, thank you.
How would you vote?
Of course, yes.
All right, thank you very much for tuning in.
All right, thank you.
Thank you all tuning in. See you next week for more What's Eating What Radio.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.